From ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania, Leon Compton.
It's one of the issues that we've talked about a little bit recently in the context of rental affordability, and I suppose some of the policies going on around childcare and wages in childcare tend to touch on these issues too in the course of this election campaign. I'm thinking about economic security for women. We also talk about superannuation contributions over time and how women are often greatly disadvantaged compared to men by the time they reach retirement age when it comes to these sorts of things. There's a roundtable discussion that's being held in Hobart today from 10 o'clock and then tomorrow in Launceston about how to boost economic security for women. And we thought we'd talk to some of the people who are putting the whole show together and indeed have been flown in for the event. Firstly, let's say good morning to Kristen Desmond, Disability Advocate. Kristen, good morning to you.
Good morning, Leon.
Nice to see you again. Hello to Christine Hepburn from ES4W. Christine, good morning to you.
Good morning to you too, Leon.
What is ES4W, Christine?
ES4W is Economic Security for Women, and it's one of the six women's alliances that are funded out of the Federal Government Office for Women through the Prime Minister and Cabinet.
We'll come back to some of the defining issues that you see around this topic in a moment. Stephen Kukulis is economist and Managing Director of Market Economics. Stephen Kukulis, good morning to you.
And good morning to you.
Christine, back to you. What are the defining issues when it comes to economic security for women that you see?
Well, some of our core issues are education, financial well-being for women, and you touched on some of the things that impact that just a moment ago, gender equity and, of course, the care economy, which is what we're going to be discussing here in Hobart and in Launceston.
So the care economy specifically?
This particular roundtable, yes.
So define the care economy for me. What does that mean in terms of the impact of caring and the excessive role, the larger role that women play in caring for either children or for people, their parents or in-laws, when it comes to economic security for women?
There are a range of issues, but what I'd actually like to do is pass over to Stephen to touch on that, because as our economist in residence and the person that's put together the white paper and the paper that we're going to be basing these roundtables on, he'd be perfect.
Stephen, I'm just going to come back to you in a moment. We're going to localise first with Kristen Desmond, who's known to many of us. So, Kristen, I mean, in a real-world sense, to our listener at home today with a whole jobs list in front of them, maybe a messy house to deal with, I mean, you know what it's like. Tell me what we're actually talking about for an ordinary Tasmanian facing this situation at the moment, ordinary Tasmanian woman.
Oh, look, I can go back to the experience I had. We had to make a decision when my children were younger about whether I could go back to work. And the reality was for 10 years I couldn't. And with our children, because we have some specific issues with all of them having autism, we were not in a situation where we could both work full time, because either access to before or after school care is an issue, or simply the kids wouldn't cope in that type of situation. So then we had to make a decision about who worked and who didn't. Now, I didn't work for 10 years. That's 10 years worth of super and a whole heap of other things that I don't get credit for. I've been back in the workforce full time now for 8 years, and it's taken me that amount of time to get back to the level at which I left. But the economic impact on our family now is that my husband doesn't work full time and he looks after the children. So in the end, there is an economic impact regardless of who is working. And the amount of stuff that we need to do, particularly if you look at children with disability, access to childcare, access to education, all those things are very difficult. And so when you're doing that and you're taking kids to therapy or you're getting called to pick them up from school, how do you hold down a full-time job with that?
And often that responsibility, and look, this happens in my relationship, it is my partner who tends to be the one who takes the days off and who calls in, you know, sick or goes home early to take care of those responsibilities day in, day out.
That's right. And when it comes to kids with disability, there's a real community expectation that if they're not coping at school, then parents will come and pick them up and parents will look after them. If you're a single parent family, how do you maintain an income if you're getting called to school every second day? These are the realistic versions of what happens to people every day. And so topics like this and policy settings around this kind of stuff is critically important.
Okay, Stephen, over to you. I mean, you look at this in the macro then. Where are you going to take this conversation at the chat that's coming up in literally 30 minutes from now?
Yeah, look, the starting point is that we do know that women on average get paid 15% less than men. So there's that proverbial gender pay gap to kick off with. And we know that in retirement, the superannuation gap is that women, when they retire in current numbers, have about 40% less in their superannuation savings. So there's the starting point of the economic insecurity for women, if you like, that they don't get paid as much, and then when they do retire, they don't have as much in superannuation. So there are many reasons for that. One of the ones that we're focusing on today is the carer side of the economy. And the carer side means when people do take time away from paid employment to look after their aged parents, their disabled family members, or even their children. So the childcare issue is very important to us. That they actually save the taxpayer a lot of money rather than having the caree institutionalised, of course, which costs a huge amount of money. So one of the things that we're looking at exploring and, of course, building on is, can there be a system where people who do care for their family members, for whatever reason, get some sort of financial recompense for that care? So in the form of either a top-up of their pension, if they're pension eligible, in terms of an income support, if they're sort of normal working age, and, of course, in terms of a superannuation contribution. So each of those things are going to be explored in terms of policy reforms that will allow and encourage that gap in pay and in superannuation to be closed.
Yeah, because this is one of the things that I want to do now. We spend a lot of time talking about the problems. Let's talk about the solutions. So, Christine Hepburn, the solutions that you would like to see to this being discussed in the town square.
The purpose of holding these forums around Australia, and we're fortunate to have two here in Tasmania, we've actually had two prior to this where we've gathered information, and this is to take it to the next step, is to hear what those solutions need to be. Because we can assume as an organisation or as an individual, but it's the people that come along that tell us, a little like Kristen's personal story, they talk to us about the issues that they encounter. We then are able to put that together and look at how might policy be changed. So every state they have different policies, they have different issues. So here it's about gathering what's pertinent for us in Tasmania so that economic security for women can go back, pull all that together and then lobby, advocate.
If I was listening closely enough to Stephen, he was laying out basically three different approaches you might take to boosting either wages or pensions or superannuation contributions over people's time out of the workforce. Kristen Desmond, do you have a solution that particularly, that a policy solution on this that might help deal with that inequity to you?
I guess I come from a different point of view in terms of looking at, rather than economic recompense, looking at how do we make it possible for people to access childcare? How do we make it possible for our education settings to be such that people can, if they want to go back into the workforce and make a choice to go back and work, that they can do it? Because we've got many families right now where someone might want to actually be in the workforce, but they can't because they can't access childcare.
So it's about investment in services. You might divert that money into investment in services that allow you, whether it's before and after school care, supported care, and those sorts of things that make it easier.
Well, that's right, because now if you speak to people who have children with complex needs, trying to get a childcare place with any child is sometimes difficult. You try and get one for a child with complex needs, particularly before and after school or even childcare, that is extraordinarily difficult, and that's a key plank for you to be able to go back to work.
Mm. Christine, you mentioned that you travel around the country and listen. Is there much discrepancy when women talk to you about the challenges and the issues, state to state, territory to territory?
There are some variances, yes, and that's what Stephen draws into his white papers, so that we can then, we have 26 member organisations that are a part of Economic Security for Women, so we listen to them, and they're all over Australia, so we're able to hear the on-the-ground issues that are pertinent to them. We also hear their suggested solutions, and we're about, I guess, being the catalyst for bringing that together and trying then to find a way to move forward with that. So the impact on women and the cost to the economy, which we're looking at here today and tomorrow and then on Wednesday on Melbourne.
And there are differences on a regional basis too, that access to a lot of the care, and particularly if it's specialised care, is somewhat easier in the big cities. And it's much less available in regional and rural centres, for example. So there are other issues that we're discovering in terms of how to ensure that perhaps people who live in a relatively small or remote part of the country can access the same quality and the same level of care as perhaps someone who lives in a great big city where there tends to be more services offered.
Kristen Desmond, this is the life that you live. You're hearing much about that from the women, the women and men that you talk to in disability advocacy.
Absolutely, and Tasmania is different to the mainland, and then you've got the more isolated parts of Tasmania where the services are less. And if you live in rural Tasmania, good luck at finding places. There's all those issues that play into it, and we have to be really careful. Even things like access to transport to get you to where you need to go isn't always an issue in other parts of Australia, but it's certainly an issue here, and it's certainly an issue for people with disability or people who have children with disability. And there are so many tentacles that go into this, and that's why I say we can talk about the financial bit, which I think is important, but I think we really need to look at what are the policy settings that we need to have in place to allow people to be able to go back to work.
Stephen Koukoulas, I've got two questions for you before we wrap it up and let you get off to your 10 o'clock event, which is only 23 minutes away. Don't feel nervous, Stephen. This is Tasmania. You can get there. It's not a two-hour trip across town like it would be in Sydney or Melbourne. So a couple of things. We're talking about solutions. Has any country in the world got it right or close to right on this issue?
Some of the Scandinavian countries do better than we are doing at the moment. They have a very, and it's in the context of the election, dare I say it, they have a relatively high level of tax, so they've got funds, they've got the money available to provide better levels of care that increases, you know, female participation in the paid workforce. Australia still has a relatively low level of female participation in the paid workforce for some of the reasons that we've already mentioned, that access to childcare is difficult, so they tend not to participate. And as a macroeconomist, I want people to work. You know, it's good for the economy and good for productivity to have a higher proportion of your workforce actually being engaged in paid work. So there are some examples and some instances where it comes across, and one of the issues that we're going to be confronting, no doubt, is that the solutions to the problem tend to be relatively expensive, and that's, I suspect, why they're in the too hard basket for many of our politicians.
They might tend to have big budget numbers attached to them, but can't they also provide big productivity boosts on the other side? So you can have scary numbers, but you can also have large productivity outcomes.
The old adage, sometimes you've got to spend a dollar to make $2, and I think that's what some of the themes are going to be that we'll be exploring too, that the cost, if you like, of providing opportunities for carers and women in particular to re-engage in the paid workforce are going to be overwhelmed by the return to the economy from that. But you know, because when you think about it for a moment, the fact that you've got extra people potentially going into paid work, they pay income tax, of course. They tend to be higher spenders. You know, if you've got a job, you spend more money than if you don't have paid work. So that you get that wonderful positive cycle coming through the economy if you can structurally change the proportion of women who are in paid work.
Final question for you, and this is on the sort of wonkery that we would normally call you and ask you to come on the radio about as well. Are the Reserve Bank going to cut interest rates tomorrow?
Oh, so that's a line ball called they should. They should. Inflation's low. The economy's not going all that well at the moment. So they probably should, but of course, they haven't in the last couple of years because they've got their bee in their bonnet about, you know, house prices in Sydney and Melbourne.
Interesting times. Hey, to all of you, thank you for coming in. 10 o'clock today at the Wool Store. If you've got the kids in the back of the car, I'm sure that Christine wouldn't mind if you brought them along. They can tear around as Stephen Koukoulas, Kristen Desmond and Christine Hepburn host their forum for you, having a look at the challenges for the impacts of care responsibilities on women in the workplace and women in society, what policy prescriptions might make it easier to deal with that in Tasmania and beyond. And then tomorrow, Christine, from?
Mantra Hope Charles in Launceston from 10 until 1.
Get along and get involved. Thank you to all of you for coming in this morning. It's been really great to see you in here.